Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, as you just heard a moment ago in our announcements, that 2022 here at North Point is our year of advance. But I want to remind you, it's not just our year of advance. We are saying this is our year to advance. This is the year where we choose to move forward. Now, when I say advance, I want you to know what we are advancing into. We are going to advance into abundance. We are going to advance into God's best. We are going to advance into God's more. We are going to advance into what God has declared to be possible over our lives. And you say, okay, well, what did God say is possible? Well, let's look at a couple scriptures. We've looked at these scriptures now for several weeks, but I just can't get away from them. And we're just going to stay right here for a little bit longer. John 10:10, Jesus said, I came so that everyone would have life and have it in its fullest. I came so that everyone would have life and would have it in its fullest. I came so that you would have life, that you would have it to the full until it overflows. This is the life that Jesus said was possible for each and every one of us. Now, Peter, a disciple of Jesus, he wrote this in 2 Peter chapter 1, and he says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Say everything.
Everything.
By his power, he has given us everything that we need to live the life that he created us to live. The scripture goes on there and it says, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. So he's saying, hey, this is possible. It is possible for you by God's power and grace. He has made a way for you to live with his divine nature on the inside of you. That's what's possible. Not only can you live with his divine nature, you also get to escape the way of the world. You also get to escape the pattern of the world. You get to escape the world's way of thinking and the world's way of behaving and the world's way of believing and the world's way of living. You get to escape all of that. Why? Because God's power has made a different way possible for each and every one of you. So I would say it to you this way. God made the abundant life possible so we don't have to settle for what's practical. God made the abundant life possible so that we don't have to settle for what's practical. Now, what is practical? Practical is just ordinary, right? You don't have to settle for what is ordinary. You don't have to settle for an ordinary existence upon this world. Why? Because when Jesus came, he came to bring his super into our natural so that we might live a supernatural existence while we are here on this earth. So I would say it this way to you today. Don't allow the practical to keep you from what's possible. Don't allow the practical to keep, don't allow the ordinary things to keep you from the extraordinary life. Don't allow the ordinary things to keep you from living the supernatural life that God said was possible. Okay, so if we're not going to allow what's practical to keep us from what's possible, let's turn that around and let's say this. Let's say, let's make what God said possible practical. If I'm not going to be limited by practical and keeping me away from my possible, then I want to make what God said possible practical. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this. Don't allow the ordinary to rob you of the extraordinary. Instead, let the extraordinary become your ordinary. Let the extraordinary become your ordinary. We should all be living a supernatural existence on this earth. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I came so that you would have the abundant life. The abundant life is whenever we have a supernatural existence. Now listen, I'm not just talking to you about your spiritual life. I'm not just talking to you about church life. No, it's spiritual life. It's church life. It's your married life. It's your work life. It's every bit of life, because that's why it's called the abundant life, because it's every area of your life. It's not abundant spirituality. It's not the abundant spirit. No, it's the abundant life, because what God wants to give you is life in every single area of your life. And the scripture says that's possible. Now, here's what the world would say, but that's not practical. It's not practical that you could have the overflow in every area of life. It's not practical that you could prosper in every area of your life, that you could live with a thriving, flourishing, and successful condition. That's not practical. It's not practical. No, you are right. It is not ordinary, but it is what God said was possible. God said you could have his peace in every situation. God said that he could give you joy that you would never be able to explain. You have access to supernatural things. So regardless today of where you are in your spiritual journey, this is your year to advance into abundance. This is your year to move forward into the life that God created you to live. Now let's just take a quick look at the definition of abundance as we move forward. If we're going to advance, it's going to mean that we are going to move forward in a purposeful way. Now, this is what we said last week, right? We said everybody is moving forward. Everybody's moving forward. Time is moving forward. I mean, we are now 16 days into 2022. It's moving forward. Everybody is moving forward. How do you know if you are existing or advancing? It's not if you're moving forward, because everybody's doing that. Is are you moving forward in a purposeful way? Are you moving forward with purpose? Are you moving forward on purpose? The second definition is to make progress. So this is how you know, am I advancing or am I just existing? Am I making progress or am I just settling for where I am? So we said, okay, this year, if we are going to advance, if we're going to make progress, right? If we are going to move forward in a purposeful way, there is going to be a stance that we get in. And what we're calling this is our stance to advance in 2022. It's our stance. We understand that there is an athletic stance that people are going to be getting into today as they play in the playoffs in the NFL. There's going to be a stance that people are getting, and they're going to get into a great stance. And why are they going to get into a great stance? Because what happens after that stance is really important. Well, guess what? If you don't get into a right stance right now, what's going to happen for the rest of this year, which is very important, is not going to go the way that you want it to if you don't start in a great stance. So we define stance as this, the definition of the word stance, it's a mental or emotional position adopted with respect to something. A mental or emotional position adopted. Now that word, and I trust that you're taking notes today on your phone or whether you're writing it down, right? Because we all know the theology here, right? Whenever you take better notes in church, you get a bigger mansion in heaven, right? You know, everybody knows that to be true. I can't promise you it's a bigger mansion, but I promise you it will give you a better week this week, because you'll actually remember it. So you want to circle the word adopted, okay? Because that's the power word in the definition. It's a mental and emotional position adopted. Adopted simply means this, to choose to take as one's own. That means the mental position that you have right now, the way that you think about God, yourself, your past, your present, and your future, the way that you are living right now emotionally, your emotional position, how you feel right now, that is what you have adopted. It means what you have chosen. The power of that is to say that nobody is able to force that mental or emotional position on you. Okay, they can influence it. Your parents can influence it. A spouse can influence it, right? People in your life, they're influential people that can influence that position, but nobody can force you into that position. You have to adopt it. The same way I can't make you adopt a child, you have to choose to adopt a child, to take them as your own. It's the same way you get in that mental and emotional position. It is something that you chose. And so we said last week, the great news is what? Is that if you are the one that adopted it, that means you can adapt it, right? So if you adopted it, you can adapt it. It means you can change. You can change the position that you are in. You can change that. So we said, okay, we got to get in the stance to advance. So because this is what we want. We want to move forward. I want to move forward on purpose, with purpose in 2022. I don't want to be the same. I want to be different. I want to be everything God's created me to be, right? So we're going to get in this stance that's going to allow us to advance. And we said, okay, Well, just the same way in an athletic stance, right? You got a good base. There are two legs that are to create a good base for you. We said, okay, what are the two things? What were the two foundational things for us to advance in 2022? And we said the two things for us to advance in 2022 in our stance is excellence and resilience. Excellence and resilience. And we're going to talk about excellence today, and we're going to come back next week, and we're going to talk about resilience, okay? We're going to talk about excellence today and then resilience next week. Today, we're going to answer three questions. Number one is this: what is excellence? Number two, why is excellence important? And number three, how do we live with excellence? All right, number one, what is excellence? What is excellence? Excellence is defined as this: the state of excelling. It's the position or the posture of excelling. What does it mean to excel? It means to surpass or outdo. To surpass or outdo. Now, it's important right here that we remember that God is not asking us to surpass or outdo other people. All right, so what that would cause us to do is for me to constantly be looking over here at my neighbor, looking at you, and say, am I worshiping better than you? Am I doing this better than you? And I'm judging everybody else to try to elevate. And then I would end up be stepping on people, putting other people down so I'd feel better about myself. That's not what God is talking about, right? So if we are going to live with an excellent spirit, if we are going to live in excellence, obviously that's not it. So what God is saying is that I'm not asking you to surpass and outdo others. I'm asking you to surpass who you were yesterday and outdo who you've always been. I want you to live with excellence based off of who you were and who you can be. I love this quote from Booker T. Washington. He says, excellence is to do a common thing in an uncommon way. Excellence is to do a common thing in an uncommon way. How many of you understand this is possible? Do you know why you know this is possible? It's called Chick-fil-A. It's an ordinary thing done in an extraordinary way. They are always happy. No matter what you ask for, it's my pleasure. I mean, all you're doing is an orange. I'm just trying to get some chicken nuggets and some fries, and you can do that at McDonald's and Burger King and Dairy Queen. You could do a lot of places you can do that, but the Chick-fil-A line comes all the way back here to the church. Why? Because so many people want the experience of what? The experience of excellence. They're doing an ordinary thing in an extraordinary way. Well, guess what? We all do ordinary things. Marriage, parenting. We go to work, we have friendships, we own businesses, we have church, there's just life. There are ordinary things to life, but there is a way to do ordinary things extraordinarily. No matter what you are talking about in your life, every ordinary thing of your life, there is an extraordinary way for you to be married. There's an extraordinary way for you to raise your children. There's an extraordinary way for you to run your business. There's an extraordinary way for you to be an employee. There's an extraordinary way for you to serve at church. There is an extraordinary, all of those are ordinary things, but there is an extraordinary way to do all ordinary things. So when we look at excellence, what are we looking at? Let me just give you maybe a little bit of a working definition, how I'm kind of defining excellence for this series. And it is this: that excellence is how well you do something. Excellence is how well you do something, anything. It's how well you do being a spouse, how well you do being a parent, how well you do being a employee, how well you do anything. But then I add this to it. And it's also how well you consistently improve that thing. See, it's not just how well you do it today, but how well you improve it over time. Because if I do it well today, but I'm not faithful to improve it for tomorrow, then whenever I get a year from now or a decade from now, it's not going to be excellent. Why? Even though I did it excellently a decade ago, it won't be excellent a decade from now because I was not working to consistently improve that thing. So excellence is how well I do something today and how committed I am to seeing that thing constantly improve. See, excellence will never settle for what is. It's always working for what can be. Excellence is never going to settle for what we have. Excellence is always going to be working for what we can become. I'll say it to you this way today, that excellence is doing your best to bring the best out of you. Simple. This is what excellence is. Excellence is you always doing your best to bring the best out of you every single day and in every single area of life. That's what excellent looks like. Me giving my best to bring the best out of me every single day. So now we know, okay, we've got a good picture of what excellence is. It means to surpass, outdo, how well I do something and how well I'm improving that thing. It is me doing my best to bring the best out of me every single day. It's doing the common thing in an uncommon way. Okay, I've got a good picture of what excellence is. Now let's move to the second question. Why is excellence important? Why is it important? I would say to you today that excellence honors God and inspires people. Why is excellence important? Because excellence honors God and it inspires people. Excellence is what releases your God-given gifts and your God-given greatness into the world. It's excellence. Excellence. It's the gifts that God planted in you. Listen, the gifts that God planted in you are developed through excellence. And the purpose that God has for you is only accomplished through excellence. You see, God has put gifts inside of every single one of you. That's what the scripture says. Every one of us have been given gifts from God. And the Bible says that you are a masterpiece. I have never heard of a masterpiece that didn't have a touch of greatness on it. So there are gifts in you and there is greatness in you that God has put in your life. And the way that we develop the gift to see the greatness is through excellence. So as I develop the gift that God put in me, I develop that gift through excellence, and the only way for me to get over here and fulfill the purpose that God has for me is if I develop the gift, if I constantly do my best to do well today and constantly improve for tomorrow, and I'm constantly in this phase, and I do well with the gift God gave, only then will I ever accomplish the purpose that he put me on the earth for. That's why we say that excellence honors God. Because you're doing something with what God gave you. It honors me. If you do something with what I give you, it honors me. If you take what I give you and you just throw it in the trash, right? You don't do anything with it. That's not honoring me. God has given you gifts and God has put his greatness on the inside of you to be a revelation to the world. What you do with that gift and what you do with that greatness is all going to be defined by how excellent you live. Excellence honors God. Why does excellence honor God? Because excellence is important to God. Excellence is important to God. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, he says, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. Say everything. Okay? In everything, in everything you do, set the example. And set the example by doing what is good. I love the New King James Version actually says, in everything you do, set an example by showing a pattern of good works. You don't set the example by having a good day. You don't set the example by having a good project. No, you set the example through a pattern of doing good, a routine of doing good. That's how you set the example. And God says, hey, in everything you do for everybody in your life, set the example by doing good. Well, this also lets us know that we don't just set the example by our talking, we set the example by our walking. We don't just set the example by what we say, we set the example by what we do. And this is the type of life that honors God, but it's also the type of life that inspires people. I am inspired by excellence. When you see somebody doing something well, when you see somebody who is living excellent, whether it's in their marriage, whether it's in their leadership, man, when you see them, you're like inspired. Man, I want to do better. Man, I want my life to look like that. That's how I want to make people feel. I'm inspired to take my life to a new level. That's why excellence, it does not just honor God, it also inspires other people. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says this, whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul That is, put in your very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for men. Whatever you do, say whatever. So he says a second ago, hey, in everything, and now he's saying, hey, whatever it is that you do, marriage, raising kids, working a job, serving at your church, whatever it is that you do, you need to make sure you do this one thing. You need to make sure you do your very best. Put your very best effort in. And he says, this is how you do that. You don't work as unto people, you work as unto the Lord. Because who you are doing it for will change how you're doing it. Who you're doing it for will change how you do it. You know how I know? I can tell you, hey, I need you to give a 5-minute speech. And if I told you I need you to give a 5-minute speech to our 4-year-old class over here, just 5 minutes to our 4-year-old class, right? You might give it 5 minutes of thought. And you just walk in there, tell them a little Bible story. Hey, isn't that great? You know, do some fun thing. All right, and you will walk out. If I told you, hey, I need you to do a 5-minute speech and I'm putting you on national television, how many of you understand that changes how you do it? You're not just going to walk in there hoping for the best, and if it goes bad, it's just 4 4-year-olds, right? You're just hoping for the best there? No, no, no. Who you are doing it for changes how you do it. So he says, hey, if you want to improve your life, if you want to improve the way that you're going, if you want to take your excellence to another level, how well you're doing something, if that's what you want, then stop pretending like what you're doing is for people and start acting like everything you're doing is for God. Look, I'll tell you, it'll change the way you talk to your spouse. It'll change the way you're raising your kids. It'll change how you show up on your job. It'll change how you lead your employees. It will change because who you're doing it for changes how you do it. And this is why it honors God. It honors God when you do your best. Doing your best honors God. It brings honor to God when you do your best with what he has given you. I love what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said. He said, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. You remember how we defined excellence? How well you do something. So what he's saying here is because this guy lived with excellence, heaven took notice because of how he lived with excellence. People took notice because how this man did his job with excellence. Now, why is it so important that we live with excellence? Because Proverbs 22:29 says this, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Meaning that he will stand in extraordinary places, not ordinary places. Do you see the person who excels in their work? Do you see the person who surpasses who they were yesterday and outdoes who they've always been? Do you see the person who does their best to bring the best out of them every single day? Do you see the person who does the common thing in an uncommon way? Do you see that person who lives with an excellent spirit? They will find themselves in extraordinary rooms and not just ordinary places. You see, the places that God will take you is often dependent upon the pursuit of excellence that's taking place within you. There are places that God wants to take you, but if what's taking place in you is not of excellence, then God can't take you to the extraordinary places that he wants you to be. Don't ever forget, Psalm 75 says that promotion comes from the Lord. The elevation that we desire, it comes from the Lord. And God wants, let me tell you, God wants to elevate you to places of impact and influence. But it is your commitment to excellence that will determine where you end up. God can have promises and plans for your life that he would take you before kings, that he would take you into the extraordinary places. But hear me today, if you are not living with excellence, if you are not doing your best to bring the best out of yourself, if you are not doing your best with what God has given you, if you are not living with excellence over here, then no matter if God wants to take you over there, he can't take you over there. Why? Because when you get over here to the people that he wants you to influence and the people he wants you to impact, the only thing that will impact and influence them and inspire them is the excellence that you lived with, but you haven't developed an excellent spirit. And so all our life, we stay over here wondering, why am I still living over here? I've got 7,000 promises in the Word of God. Why am I not seeing these promises in my life? God gives you the promise. He gives you the gift. He gives you the purpose. And he says, now you begin to develop that thing with an excellent spirit. And sure enough, you will be standing before kings in extraordinary places. But you don't get extraordinary whenever you live everyday ordinary. That's why excellence is so important. Because there are places, there are people in your world who need to be influenced. You know, people are influenced when they're inspired. When they get to see how you live, how they get to see how you talk about your spouse, and they get to see how you love your kids, and they get to see how you show up with a great attitude every day, and they get to see how you deal with bad news, and they get to watch you. And when they watch somebody who lives with an excellent spirit, they're inspired. And when they're inspired, they say, hey, I want to be more like you. And you say, hey, you should come to North Point Community Church because my pastor's always talking about this. It's inspiring. Why is it so important? It's important that you live with excellence because there's places that God wants to take you. There are rooms that he wants to put you in. There are tables that he wants you to sit around. There are people that he wants you to influence and impact in this city and all over the world. But if he is going to take you to that place, there is something that has to be taking place in you. It's pursuit of excellence. God, it honors God. It inspires people. Okay, so now we know what excellence is. Now we know why excellence is important. The third question is, okay, so how do we live with excellence? Listen, don't overcomplicate it. We live consistently with excellence through our habits. Through our habits. Will Durant said this. He said, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, it's not an act, it's not a moment, but it's a habit. You see, in our lives, we don't need a moment of excellence. We need a method for excellence. We don't need a moment of excellence. We need a method for excellence. We don't need a day of excellence. No, we need a design for continued excellence. Because the best way to ensure excellence in your life is to form excellent habits. So form excellent habits. And here's what habit creation will do. Habit creation helps defeat hasty temptation. Habit creation helps you defeat the hasty temptation, the momentary, fleeting, quick temptation that everybody faces in their life. It is habit creation that helps you overcome the hasty temptation. Now, let's just take a moment right here and let's remind ourselves where temptation comes from. Temptation does not come from outside of you. Temptation takes place on the inside of you. It is not coming from the evil devil. Scripture says in James chapter 1 that temptation is coming from the evil desires that exist within you. But Jeremiah says, the heart above everything else is wicked. It's deceitful. And the heart is in you. So we have to create habits. And here at North Point, we say that we define discipleship as the process to progress, right? That our progress of becoming more like Jesus, right? It happens in a process. And part of that process is habit creation. Now, listen, if you're like, well, I mean, what are we talking about? Habit creation right now? I mean, did we just walk in Barnes & Noble? Is this a self-help section? Like, I thought I was coming to church today. I don't know how it works. All you got to do is read the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. And I'm
glad somebody just said something is being baptized, because I didn't release the people that are being baptized. So thank you for saying that over here and drawing my attention to the baptismal tank. I need all the people that are going to be baptized to stand up and to begin to move quickly over here as we get ready to wrap. Come on, let's give those people being baptized. Come on. Come on, let's give them a hand. Come on, that's one of those, it's one of those holy distractions right there. So glad I got distracted there. Okay, so we got this process, right? There's this habit creation. This habit creation. And if you think, oh, just go to the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus starts talking about, blessed are, and he starts going to the, blessed are the people that hunger and thirst for righteousness. I don't know about you, but I don't wake up every single day of my life for the last 25 years of my life just hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Sometimes I wake up a little ratchet, if you know what I'm saying. Like, it's not righteous that I'm going after, it's something else. He says, blessed are the peace speakers. Blessed are the peacekeepers. We understand, but that takes work. Don't just say, oh, I love God and I've just figured out how to keep the peace. No, how do you figure out how to keep the peace? How do you figure out how to hunger and thirst? How is all these things happen from habit creation? And if just the Beatitudes not enough for you, just keep reading the whole Sermon on the Mount, because then you get to where Jesus starts talking about turn the other cheek and go the extra mile and carry somebody's back. And you hear all of these things, and none of these things are ordinary, and none of these things make sense. And so if we are going to live, how do you get, you have to create habits that turn the other cheek. Because in the moment, you'll smack them on their cheek. You won't go the extra mile, right? There's no way. How do we do those things that Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount that we need to do? Habit creation. You've got to create the habits for those things. Why? Because you can't always trust how you feel in the moment. This is why you need a method that protects you from the moment. Because you don't know how you feel when that person smacks you on the cheek. You don't know how you feel when that person asks you to do the extra. You don't know how you're going to feel in that moment. But whenever you have a method, here's where we miss it sometimes. We feel like, but I love God. I just love God so much. That's great. I have so much passion for God. Listen, if you have passion for God, but you don't have a pattern to be godly, it's not going to work. So this is where people get confused, because I've got so much passion. I love God with all of my heart. Awesome. But if you haven't figured out how to manage your life, loving God with all of your heart's not going to take you everywhere it needs to take you. It starts with passion. But if you don't develop a pattern, it's not going to matter. People say, well, I've got this desire. I desire to be used by God. I've got this desire. Okay, what if you don't have a design to be used by God? If you don't have a design, I'm just telling you right now, passion and desire are going to be trumped by design and a pattern every single time. You've got to know how. I've got to establish the habits that are going to carry me into the life that I want. So I'm going to give you just three habits today as we close. Three habits real quickly. Now, by no means is this an exhaustive list, the only habits you need. I'm going to give you three habits that will start the process for you, that will start the process of you of beginning to live with excellence. Here is the first habit. The first habit is a reading habit. A reading habit. The better stuff you put in your mind, the better stuff you will get out of your life. The better stuff you put in your mind, the better stuff you get out of your life. And now you, some people sitting in there, be like, I hate reading. Oh God, I'm not a reader. I'm a slow reader. Okay, let me just take a moment. I'll take a time out and I'll say, hey, me too. Me too. Man, I hated reading so much that I didn't even read in high school when they assigned it. I talked my mom into reading those books. My mom was in the first service. You can follow up with her. She wrote every book report I ever did in high school. When people talk about all the high school reading assignment, you know, the Catcher in the Rye and the Pilgrim's Progress, I'm always like, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Didn't read a one. My mom wrote every book. The only book I read in high school was Larry Bird's autobiography called Drive. It's the only book I read. If you're in high school in here, I'm not proud of that, okay? You should don't tell your parents, like, ah, can you believe his mom really loves him? You don't love me. I was a freshman in college, and as a graduation gift, somebody had bought me John Maxwell's very first book on leadership. And he had really just written the book just a couple years before. And now, of course, John Maxwell is a leadership guru known all over the world. But somebody had bought this book for me. Is entitled Developing the Leader Within You. And honestly, I was a freshman in college and I was like bored. I was just sitting on my bed and I just picked up the book and I was like, all right, Developing the Leader Within You, I'll see what this, you know, see what this says. And as I started reading, it was like something started happening on the inside of me. As I started reading these truths about, hey, you don't have to live with the lid that you've always lived with. You can raise the lid in your life. You don't have to be who you've always been. You can change. You can grow and develop, and you can learn, and you can become. And as I'm reading all of these things, man, I'm just going page after page after page. It was the most transformative moment right there in my life, reading this book. And since that moment, I have read so many. I've read probably 20 books a year at least, minimum, up to 40 books every single year. Why? Because I discovered this truth. The better stuff I put in my head, the better stuff I get out of my life. So if you say today, well, I'm a slow reader, listen, I'm still a slow reader, but here's what I know. If I don't put it in, I'm not going to get it out. So if you want to begin the journey of living with excellence, you need to develop a reading habit. Let's go into the Bible, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This is what God says to Joshua. At this time, he's about to step into a leadership role, leading the entire nation of Israel. And this is what God tells him. Study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. You see, he says, you got to meditate on it, but watch this. You can't meditate on what you haven't studied. You can't meditate on what you haven't read. So he says, you got to study the book. You got to read the book. You got to study the book so that you can meditate on what you need to be meditating on day and night. And then he says, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Only then. Only when you read and meditate will you prosper. Only then can you live in a thriving, flourishing, and successful condition in every area of your life. Only when you are reading and meditating can you live in that state. So you need to develop a reading habit. Where does that reading habit start? It starts with reading the Bible. You know what? I mean, I wish you could come to church once a month and live the abundant life. I really do. Because the abundant life is the reason Jesus came, that we would have eternal life and abundant life. I mean, I wish you could come to church every Sunday and live the abundant life. But that's just not the way it works. If you are not reading and putting the right things in your mind, then you are not going to be getting the right things out of your life. So it starts with reading the Bible. And listen, then you can start reading good books because there are books out there that will equip you and empower you and train you and teach you and encourage you and give you direction. There are books out there that will challenge you, that will cause you to grow and develop in areas that you never thought you would ever grow and develop. And those resources are out there. And listen, people live their whole lives and they put their very best lessons in a book and they sell it to you for $20. And it took them 20 years to get that lesson, 20 years to get that principle. It took them 20 years to get that, and they are putting it in a package and they're putting it in there for you, and all you have to do is to pay $20 to access what somebody gave 20 years for. It changes your life. It's a reading habit. Here's the second habit. The second habit is a thinking habit. Now, what we just said is that you can't meditate on what you haven't studied, what you haven't read. So the thinking habit is directly tied to the reading habit. So you got to have a thinking habit, right? Thinking habit in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Think about things that are true, admirable, excellent. Now here's what I would say. You got to think about what you're thinking about to know if you're thinking about those things. We'll say that again so you can catch up. You got to think about what you're thinking about to make sure that you are actually thinking about those things. Because if you are thinking negative and you are thinking discouraged and you are thinking selfish and you are thinking anxiously and you are thinking pride, if you are thinking these ways, then you're not going to get the right things out of your life. So you got to think about what you're thinking about. Now, there's two thoughts that I want to give you right here. And the first is this. You need to know when your red flag thoughts show up. Everybody in this room should have a red flag thought. It's the thought that comes first that starts your spiral. Everybody in here has it. I know when this thought comes, that thought follows, the next thought follows, the next, and now I am going down a slippery slope. And after we've had 100 thoughts, now we're like, oh God, somebody help me. It would have been way easier to help you at the red flag thought. That first thought that comes into my mind, boom, that needs to be like an alarm. I mean, sirens blare. I mean, you got to be like, whoa, my God, I got to do something about this because I know where this thought is taking me. It's my red flag thought. But here's what you also need. You don't just need a red flag thought. You also need a replacement thought. So don't just, red flag thought, oh, this is not going to take me good. If you don't replace it with a different thought, what you're going to be thinking 10 seconds later is the red flag thought. You got to replace it. Because if you just leave it empty, the other thought's coming right back. You can't just live your life. Like, don't think about that. Don't think about it. It's just like right if I said right now, whatever you do, don't think about a purple elephant. Everybody in this room just thought about a purple elephant. Why? Because that's what happens whenever we say. So you can't just live your life saying, don't think about that. Don't think about that. Don't think about it. Because that's what you think about. You got to replace it. What do you replace it with? With something that's pure. With something that's true. With something that's admirable. With something that is excellent. With something that's excellent. With something that is going to bring the best out of you. It's a thinking habit. See, sometimes we have our habits are so bad when it comes to our thinking that before we even get out of bed in the morning, we've had more bad thoughts than you can even imagine. We hadn't even got out of bed. And you're already thinking, those kids, they probably didn't clean the dishes and my husband probably didn't start the coffee like I told him that he needed to start because he left early this morning. He knows I don't know how to make that coffee, so he better make that coffee for me. And I gotta have all these things. And you know what? My boss probably forgot that we got a meeting. And if my boss doesn't show up on time, I'm gonna give him a piece of my mind today. I'm gonna tell him exactly what I think about him and his leadership. And you're not even out of bed yet. And you know what happens when you start that way? When you go in there and the kids did do the dishes and your husband made your coffee and your boss does show up on time, you're still mad. You're mad that they actually did it. It's a thinking habit. It's negative. It's lack. It's limited. No matter what, we have these bad thinking habits, these bad thinking patterns. And we've got to change those. So you've got to know what is my red flag thought and what is my replacement thought going to be. And listen, you got to know it. You got to know it. You can't just be like, okay, well, I'll replace it when I get there. If you wait to replace it when you get there, it's too late. I mean, I was just taking my daughter, my 10-year-old daughter, through this process last night because she asked me, she was doing the dishes. And she's like, Dad, I keep having this thought. What do you do about reoccurring bad thoughts? And I took her through this process. I said, okay, tell me about that thought. Okay, is that thought true? No. Is that thought actually going to happen? No. Okay, so what do we need to do? We need to replace it. You can't just say, oh, that's stupid. That'll never happen. You can't do that because you'll keep thinking that thing. So you have to replace it with a good thought. And so I said, what is a good thought that you want to replace? She says, I want to replace it with thinking about my small group, okay, which my 10-year-old daughter started her own small group called Praise Girls. Okay, they got this group. They meet once a month. And she said, I want to take Praise Girls to nursing homes so we can sing to the old people and make their day. So what she did is I said, okay, every time you have that thought, I want you to replace that with a thought of you leading your Praise Girls group into a nursing home so that you can sing and be happy and bring joy to people who need it. And so now there is a red flag thought. She knows the thought, and now she has a replacement thought of, man, I'm going to be able to take my Praise Girls and we're going to go and we're going to be a blessing. And now what she's doing is she is replacing the bad thoughts with the God thoughts. Here's the third habit as we close today, and that is a speaking habit. A speaking habit. Listen, instead of randomly, subconsciously speaking doubt and limitation over your life and your future, start intentionally speaking life and truth. So many times, we don't even really think about what we say to ourselves. And we say it because that's what my mom said. That's what my grandfather said. That's what my boss said. I worked for him for 12 years, and that's what he used to always say. And so that's what I say. So whenever something doesn't go my way, I say something. Whenever somebody says, oh, it's Murphy's Law, one thing, bad thing, is it just keeps on going. What Murphy's Law? Murphy's Law doesn't compare to God's law. God's in the business of turning things around. So when people start saying, oh, it's Murphy's Law, it's going down, I'd bind that. I'm not under that promise. I got a promise that God will turn it around. We'll start heading in another direction. Right? It's just like, but we're trained. Like, we're all like, oh, yeah, Murphy's Law. Everybody's like nodding their head. I'm talking about, oh, yeah, Murphy's Law. Yeah, teach something there. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Amen. Preach it, Pastor. Because we have habits that we don't even know. We don't even realize. And so we just say things subconsciously throughout our day. And we speak to lack and limitation. We speak to doubt and we speak to fear. We don't even realize we're doing it, but we're doing it. We're speaking just randomly and subconsciously. What happens if instead of just letting that be the case, you started every day with intentionally speaking life and truth? We don't just say the declaration because, like, I think it's cool and it helps us transition into the message. No. We say the declaration every Sunday because I want it to so get in your heart that you begin to say it every single day. Because I want you to declare the truth about who you are. I want you to declare the truth about who God is. And I want you to declare the truth about what He can do in you and through you. I want you to begin to declare the truth in the life, over your life. I want you to declare it. Because when you begin to speak intentionally and then you find yourself later in the day speaking randomly, you're like, wait a minute. That didn't line up with what I said this morning. That didn't line up with me being an overcomer. That didn't line up with all things being possible. That didn't line up with greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That didn't line up with my identity as a child of God. That didn't line up with Him being my Father. It didn't line up. So whenever I speak randomly, I catch myself and I go, wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. I mean, you've been saying it for 17 years, but it doesn't sound right anymore. Why? Because you start intentionally introducing another habit in your life. And you started speaking truth and you started speaking life. So whenever the lie shows up and whenever the lack and limitation shows up in my speech, I think, wait a minute. If that was the truth and this isn't that, then this has got to be a lie. And then what happens is the more we speak truth and we speak life, the more we start to realize how dysfunctional our speaking actually is. And then we start realizing, whoa, this is why Solomon told us in Proverbs that the words that come out of your mouth, they are life and death. And I've been ignorant to what I've been saying for so long. I've got this speaking habit of negativity and this speaking habit of anxiety and this speaking habit of fear. I've got these habits of speaking. I didn't even realize the consequence in my life. That's why we've got to begin to intentionally speak the right things over our life. This is not an exhaustive list. These things are not going to be everything that you need, but listen to me. If you'll begin to develop a reading habit, if you'll begin to develop a thinking habit, and you'll develop a speaking habit where you are filling your mind with the right thing every single day, and you are thinking about those things that you are putting in there, and you begin to speak those things, and you begin to talk about, and you begin to declare these things in your daily declaration, you begin to declare that over your life, I promise you, you are going to begin to see more excellence in your life. Because those steps right there will lead to other steps. And when you get those habits down, you start developing more habits. That habit creation, so that you can live the life that you were created for. Let me just give you quickly our lead acrostic for today, and then we're gonna take a moment and worship and baptize some people. But let me just give you this real quick, because here's the thing, and if we're going to advance in 2022, we gotta lead ourselves well, right? We gotta lead ourselves well. So this little acrostic, what did we learn today? What's our learn? Our learn is this: my stance to advance requires excellence. There is no other way to advance if we don't live with excellence. The evaluation is this: am I currently doing my best to bring the best out of me in every area of my life? Do you know the trick to that question? The trick to that question is you're the only one that actually knows. You're the only one that knows if you're really giving your best. You might be doing way better than me, but it still might not be your best. Your spouse doesn't even know if it's really your best. So this evaluation is just between you and God, because you're the only two people that really know, are you doing your best to bring the best out of you in every area of your life? The application is: start building the habits necessary for excellence. Start with these three: reading, thinking, and speaking. Reading, get new thoughts in, get new thoughts in by what you read, evaluate the thoughts that you have, and begin to speak truth in life, and recognize whenever you begin to speak something that contradicts that. And say, not for 20, that's trying to hold me back. That's trying to keep me from advancing. That lie has held me bondage for too long. That lie has kept me from God's best for too long. I will not live that way. Come on, will you stand with me today? And then the D is always the same. Do it again.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.